this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Have you heard this story from Montana about a 44-year-old man who is dead now? He was run over in the middle of the road dressed as Bigfoot. This guy was trying to perpetrate a Bigfoot hoax. And so apparently, later on in the day, as it was getting kind of dusky, he goes trudging out there across a street wearing something similar to a ghillie suit. The first thing that happened is a 15-year-old girl just slammed right into him, knocked him up in the air. The car behind her swerved around him, and then a third vehicle, driven by a 17-year-old boy, just ran him right over. Boom, bang, zoom, dead Bigfoot hoaxer. Does it make me a bad person for finding this a little bit humorous? You know, I am amazed this doesn't happen more often. There are a million things that can go wrong when you dress up like Bigfoot and you go running around. You could get shot. But, you know, I never thought somebody would hit you with the car, because think if that was a Bigfoot. That could be dangerous for all parties involved, but this man ended his life over his Bigfoot hoax. We have a lot of crazy stuff happening, as usual, in the world tonight. We're digging into all of it. What a program! What a show tonight! I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer tonight is Hardwood Forrest Connor. Sounds like something you might have done in the past, Forrest.
Well, I was about to say, you and I have actually talked about this situation in the past. Like, you know, you don't want to be in the woods dressed up like a Bigfoot or anything, because, you know, you never know who's going to come out and shoot you or whatever. Or, like you said, if you saw a Bigfoot, would you shoot it? I mean,
he is in Montana, of all places.
Yeah.
So that does increase the odds you're going to get shot by somebody.
Yeah.
And investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop, do you have any thoughts on this story?
I guess I'm a bad person because I do find it kind of humorous, too. And what was he thinking? I guess he wasn't.
Well, we may never know. But I guess this is a warning. They're looking at toxicology reports to see if the guy had been drinking or whatever. But, you know, what's funny about this story and the three of us as well is that, of course, if those of you listening to the program don't know, I mentioned I'm the president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. Forrest, you're a member of Lemur.
I am.
Shelley Wright, you are a member of Lemur. In fact, you were the first female and only female member of Lemur, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And, you know, we have gone out over the years investigating Bigfoot reports and ghosts and aliens and you name it. We've always just cast a wide net out there. And I got this email today, which I think you guys are going to find fascinating. A guy emailed me from this tiny island in Spain, and he says this is old Spain, and a lot of people around there, the way he put it, they're not really up on paranormal stuff. They don't really know who we are or what we do or anything like that. Well, this guy's father-in-law, if I'm getting this right, died. And since he died, his ghost, for the past 3 years, has been coming back and haunting the family. And for 3 years, he has been appearing and saying to them two very distinct words. Contact Lemur. Contact Lemur. And they didn't know what the hell this ghost was talking about. Was he want to get a lemur, you know, talk to an animal? It just made no sense. Finally, this became so persistent, they started doing some research. And when they came across us, the guy said, bingo, this is it. He wants me to get in touch with you. So he says, I'm not sure what to do next, but please call me and, you know, we'll figure out what needs to be done.
I think we need to go to Old Spain.
I do, too.
Yeah.
So a ghost is asking for us by name.
It would be rude not to go.
Exactly. Exactly. And, I mean, we've got Mr. Ghost Consultant here anyway.
Yes.
That's true. It's official. My name and lights. Because, well, I tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about the apparition finally. But first off, let me tell you what else we're going to do tonight. In addition to all the wild news that we usually have, as you know, little by little, I'm going to try to introduce you to some of the people who are cast members on this new TV series, Paranormal Paparazzi. You know, I'm one of the cast members. This thing is going to debut on Friday, September 28th on the Travel Channel. We're going to have a party here in Asheville. Everybody is invited at the Wild Wing Cafe, 6 p.m. And recently we talked to Aaron Sagers, the host of the show. And so tonight we're going to talk to Rachel Fine. And Rachel Fine is not only a cast member on Paranormal Paparazzi, she also is a personality on, of all things, The Howard Stern Show. And she even hosts a program on Howard TV called Fine Time. And she's got, you can imagine if you work with Howard Stern, the stories that you have to tell.
Actually, I was listening to Howard on the way over here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I was.
And she's a great person, very fun-loving, and the thing is, you can't offend her. You cannot offend her, but you can scare her, and we will demonstrate that tonight. We're going to talk to her a little bit later this hour, and the next hour, one of our favorite people, one of our best friends for many years, Nick Redfern, the Englishman who now lives in Texas, who investigates UFOs, cryptids especially, conspiracies. He has a new book that he has contributed to called Hounds of the Baskervilles, From Demon Dogs to Sherlock Holmes, The True Story of the Beast. And he's looking at connections between demon dogs, black dogs, hellhounds, and UFOs and spirits and all kinds of weird stuff. So we'll have a great conversation with Nick Redfern later. But you're right, Forrest. Okay, we did see the apparition. We didn't want to talk about it last weekend because it was opening weekend, and that's a very sensitive time for films. And now let me make it clear, we didn't have like some big party where, you know, but we, a small group of some of us, we worked around some work schedules, and we went out one night. You were there, Forrest. You were there, Shelley. Mobius was with us. And here's something you guys didn't know before we talk about the film. 30 minutes, apparently I found this out later, 30 minutes into the film, as we were sitting there watching the movie, unbeknownst to us, at least two people have reported to us, bright orange UFOs appeared over the movie theater, darting around in the sky. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah. And De Gudermensch was one of the people. The other person, I don't know if I'll, I don't, if I may not have permission to use the name, but at least two people told us immediately, we saw these UFOs at this place at this time, and they didn't know that we were in the theater at that place at that time. So when they found out, they were shocked. We found out we were shocked. Weird. Just weird stuff like that. So, yes, we saw the film. And here's what I can tell you. If you've read any of the reviews, the critics have just been brutal toward this movie. I mean, just 99% of the critics have hated the movie. And that makes me think it didn't really hit the mark with a lot of the traditional horror moviegoers. I personally cannot ever really give an objective opinion because for the past 2 years, I've known the people who were involved. I've been helping them with various technical aspects. I had nothing to do with making the movie other than just giving them information about what equipment might go into certain scenes. I enjoyed my experience in the theater, but that is partly because I was sitting there waiting to see where my stuff was going to appear. So I can't speak for everybody else, and you guys are sort of in the same boat.
I am. But one thing about the movie is like, the lab setup was almost identical to the lab setup we had set up in the Lemur lab.
Yeah, yeah. You can tell they really looked at what we did and took it
seriously. I mean, down to like the VLF, the old clunky VLF meter.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They had what appeared to be that. And some of those things were props that prop masters built to look like what we had because some of our equipment's so rare and hard to find, they probably couldn't even necessarily get it the way they needed it at the time. But despite, you know, the fact that, the critics didn't care for the movie, a lot of people have looked at it and said, well, this also was a commercial failure because it only pulled in a few million dollars over the weekend. What they don't realize, however, is that Warner Brothers only released this movie on 800 screens. They usually release it, a movie like this, on 2,700 screens. We're not sure why Warner Brothers released it on so few screens, but it had one of the highest per-screen averages of any movie over the weekend. So if they had released this thing on 2,700 screens, it would have been a big commercial success. And I think Warner Brothers is realizing that. But, you know, there are all kinds of weird corporate politics that go into those decisions. We got to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you, however, why the DVD, I think, is going to be the best part of the movie, because that's where we're really featured. And then also I've got a creepy story for you about why you should be very, very afraid of something that can eat your brain. I'm serious. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
Lies ahead. Today and tomorrow are yet to be said. The chances, the changes are all yours to make. The mold of your life is in your hands to break. The greatest adventure is there if you're bold. You
Amazing, remarkable stories in the world, where the greatest adventure begins. Every Saturday night,
all yours to me.
Investigator Shelley Wright, do you know where this classic comes from?
No.
I knew, Forrest, you and I knew Shelley would not get this. Come on. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was an animated feature. Does that help, Shelley?
Nope.
You know, the one thing that disappoints me about the upcoming Hobbit movie is that I just know they're not going to have this song in it.
Yes, Peter Jackson doing it?
Peter Jackson's doing it. Shelley, do you remember the old Hobbit animated feature film?
I loved The Hobbit.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
This is the music from that movie.
Then I have blocked that
greatest
out.
Greatest Adventure.
By Glenn Yarborough. And South Park did an excellent parody of this, which we won't get into right now. And for years, we even had a Speaking of Strange promo that Forrest put together that featured this in the background. Because this is the program that takes you on the greatest adventure. And tonight is no different here on Speaking of Strange. You know, before the break, we were talking about the apparition. And the big thing that we're really looking forward to is seeing the apparition DVD come out. Because in all the extras and bonuses, from what I understand, they are going to be showing the footage of our real experiment. And a lot of other things that we did. I mean, we did a lot of investigations. We went to the Reynolds Mansion. And so they asked for some historic photographs from the Reynolds Mansion. Reynolds Mansion is one of the most beautiful places around. And very haunted. And it has a connection to the Hope Diamond and the Curse of the Hope Diamond, which is something we tell people about on the Haunted Asheville ghost tours. Go to hauntedasheville.com, by the way. And this whole month, we have a two-for-one special on our walking tours. So that means, and that's for the classic walking tour. So you buy a ticket, one person gets to come for free. HauntedAsheville.com. We call this the Spring Harvest Special. So, okay, this was a story that kind of creeped me out a little bit when I read it. And it sort of stems from Louisiana. Boy, the people down there are getting hit hard. By the way, you know, there are still tons of people all over the Southeast who are out of power because of the storming as of late. And I wish they all had sunshine, simple solar generators for the home. Can you imagine how difficult it must be to even get fuel down there when these hurricanes hit, Forrest?
Oh, I remember when we've had just a couple of minor storms up here, and it was fairly bad in other places. We were without gas and fuel up here.
Yeah. So, and, you know, they tell you when you're getting prepared, like, everybody go fill up your cars. I mean, the pumps, they run dry. When the power goes out, sometimes the pumps can't even pump the fuel to begin with. Sunshine Simple Solar Generators solve that problem. They require no fuel other than the sun. They can run 24 hours a day, even at night. They are silent. They have no moving parts. And, you know, the people who have one are probably the most popular people in their neighborhood right now. Because we have sold a bunch down there. So go to sunshinesimple.com if you want to check this out and, you know, take care of your home. Anyway, this is a story from Louisiana. And apparently, over the past few months here, at least two people have had a very severe reaction to something that was mysterious at first. Imagine this. This is a typical scenario. One day, you start feeling a little bit feverish, and then you get a headache. And then your fever goes up even more. And then your neck starts getting really stiff. And then you start to become delirious and saying crazy things, unable to speak and articulate properly. And then you die. This has happened to at least two people lately in Louisiana, a 51-year-old woman and a 28-year-old man. So they've completed autopsies and stuff, and they found out that these people died from brain-eating amoebas. And, of course, they're trying to figure out how did these brain-eating amoebas make it into their heads. They found the common link. These people are using neti pots with tap water. Now, you know what a neti pot is.
Yes.
For those who don't know, it's like a little, usually like a little ceramic pot or something like that. And you fill it with water. And it is common to use tap water, I guess. And you just sort of stick the spout in one nostril and you pour water and it shoots all the way through your sinuses and comes out the other nostril. And it's supposed to help with your sinus problems. And I've actually done this before, and it's not so bad. You really can't even feel it. It sounds awful. But when you use tap water, they say that sometimes the tap water has these amoebas in it. And if you drink the tap water, then your stomach acid will destroy the amoebas. But when you pour them in your nose like that, they go straight through the sinus cavities up to the brain, and they just start going to town. And so they're offering this warning all over the United States. If you are a neti pot user and you're going to use tap water, you know, you should sterilize it, boil it, or something like that. Probably your best bet's not to even use tap water. So, it's, you know, who would think of little things like that? I don't know if that's a problem anywhere other than Louisiana right now, but creepy stuff. Let's see. Here's a story. Oh, gosh. Are we... Oh, where is it? There it is. I thought it finally vanished. Here's a story from Pensacola, Florida. That's our Florida bell that we are accustomed to ringing. And you know these shows like... what do they call, like, Storage Wars and,
yes,
and that kind of thing, where these folks, they go and they bid on each other to get one of these storage lockers, and they're not sure what's inside, and the drama is them going through the goodies and seeing if they hit the jackpot or if
looking
they
for
lost.
That one valuable object in there.
Yeah. Well, this is a story that kind of reminds me of this, because apparently somebody went to one of these storage auctions in Pensacola, bought one of the storage units that had been sort of left abandoned, if you will, and they noticed a foul smell as they began sifting through the furniture and boxes. And shortly thereafter, they found the remains of more than 100 people crudely stored in Tupperware containers, garbage bags, and drink cups. Investigators found formaldehyde leaking from a 32-ounce drink cup with a cracked lid, and there was a heart inside there. And they say that this thing had previously been rented by a doctor, and I won't give his name out here right now. They're thinking that this doctor was apparently performing some maybe private exercises and taking advantage of his access to human cadavers, because they say these body parts could not really be resold or used in any legitimate medical manner. Because, I mean, for one thing, there are a lot of laws regarding how these things have to be properly stored and properly preserved. They say that, you know, none of the conditions in these Tupperware containers were right none of the weather conditions, temperature, any of that stuff was appropriate for any type of medical storage. The chemicals inside of these things was often very caustic. And so right now they're trying to figure out who these parts belong to, track them down, and find out where this guy is and see what the heck he was up to. Creepy stuff. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by Rachel Fine. She is a Howard Stern personality, and she's a cast member on the upcoming TV series Paranormal Paparazzi on the Travel Channel. We're going to introduce you to Rachel Fine and see if she can tell us a little bit about some of the scary experiences that she had doing her first paranormal investigations ever for this upcoming program. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, you are listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Thanks for spending your evening with us. You've heard me talk a lot about Rachel Fine. Let me tell you, she is a person who has a global audience. I mean, a huge fan base. She's a model. She's a songwriter, she's a singer, she's an entrepreneur, she's a personality in the Howard Stern empire, and now she's a cast member, along with me, on the upcoming Travel Channel series, Paranormal Paparazzi. Her website is rachelfine.com, that's R-A-C-H-E-L-F-I-N-E, rachelfine.com. Rachel Fine, welcome to Speaking of Strange.
Well, thank you, Josh. That was quite the introduction.
Well, you know, there is so much to say about you because you really are a multifaceted person who has just done it all. So many people love you. I mean, when I tell people I'm on this show with Rachel Fine, well, the men swoon automatically, of course, but the women love you as well, especially your witty interview style. And how did you go from being, you know, singer, songwriter, model, Howard Stern person to paranormal reporter?
You know, my interests are just kind of all over the place. I had talked to my agent and said I was looking to do something a little different and interesting, and just kind of putting feelers out for what was out there. And I met with the production staff at My Tupelo about doing this project with Aaron and about kind of the paranormal and my experiences in it and my thoughts about it. And I thought it would be a really, really fun thing to throw myself into that I knew almost nothing about. So that's how it happened.
Well, you know, you were a natural for this because, you know, the funny thing is you are very comfortable being in all media, and yet it was fun to watch you for the very first time go out and have these paranormal experiences, because most people, they start out, they kind of dabble around and maybe the local haunted house that all the teenagers go and check out on the weekends or whatever. But no, you started right at the Lizzie Borden house your very first night. And of course, we don't want to spoil it and give away all the surprising stuff, but tell us a little bit about what happened, because when I saw the footage you shot that night, I was really impressed.
Well, I can say this, and you're right. I did jump right in. I definitely didn't warm myself up, and that's been my kind of experience in life. You know, I like to skydive and do crazy. I just kind of jump in feet first in anything I do, and so the paranormal thing is no different. I am, as someone who has watched a multitude of paranormal shows, Ghost Adventures being one of them, and those kinds of shows, I enjoy that stuff, but I always thought watching them, it would be so easy as an actor to walk in, and maybe either as an actor, or maybe just hypersensitivity that it's nighttime and you're in a spooky building and you kind of, your mind gets the best of you, or, you know, you're trying to play it up and be, you know, scared so there's some evidence. So I kind of went in with a hint of skepticism. I'm not necessarily a skeptic by any means, but I just wanted to have a legitimate experience and really keep my senses around me and document everything that was happening. And I don't want to give away, you know, what happened at Lizzie Borden's house, but I can say it was pretty life-altering for me in regard to just having to kind of shift my paradigm of understanding of the universe, which you don't look to a TV show to do that for you, but this did. So I definitely had legitimate, real, concrete, verifiable experiences.
Now, in your past, you know, prior to this, had you experienced anything paranormal?
You know, I have one experience, and it's weird. You know, I'm kind of wrapping my head around being a part of this world where you can talk about this stuff freely, because there was a time before this genre kind of took over in television in the last 5 to 10 years, I would say, 5 years maybe, where you didn't really talk about this stuff without being a nut job. So no offense to anyone listening, I just was in a very mainstream world where I hadn't been exposed to it, I wasn't around people who were exposed to it, and when you had something happen, you kind of just whispered about it, maybe, and you're almost embarrassed to share that story. But I can say one of the cool things about coming into this world was the acceptance that I found from people when I said, I think I saw a ghost once. And that's just, again, a weird sentence for me to even say, but I would say maybe 7 years ago-ish, I was in Texas, and I was staying at an old ranch, and I had a very odd night at this really, really old ranch that I was staying at. It was a friend's house, and I woke up kind of half awake, half asleep around 3 in the morning, and I felt that the guy who lived in the house was looking over my shoulder, was like up close looking at me, and all that went through my head was, oh man, he's a pervert, like, what's he doing in my room, this is crazy. And you can feel when someone's right next to you, and I absolutely knew someone was there, and I kind of cracked my eyes, and I felt them pull back and away and walk towards the door, and I cracked my eyes open, and no one was in the room with me, and that was bizarre, so I thought, well, maybe I'm dreaming that, but I had the sensation of someone being next to me. So I sat up in bed, and I just was kind of eyes acclimating to the darkness in the room, and there was some light kind of being cast from just the moonlight outside coming through the windows, and I saw two shadows, a shadow of a man and a shadow of a woman, and they were, like, interacting in this kind of repetitive pattern. They were, like, the woman looked like she was shaking her hands and yelling, and the man was chasing after her, and it was just kind of something on a loop almost. I don't even know how to describe it, but I just sat there and stared for a good half hour at something in front of me that I couldn't wrap my head around. I knew I was awake. I wasn't dreaming. I went and tiptoed up to the door to kind of look out the window to see if I was seeing the shadow of a tree branch moving or something happening, and there was nothing explaining what was in front of me, and I just, that was the first time I thought, something has happened that I've seen, and I don't know what this is. And the interesting part, too, I think, well, not that that wasn't, I hope that was, but two of my friends were staying at two other rooms in this house, and the next morning, none of us, we were all acting a little weird, but no one wanted to say anything, and I kind of just shot them an email from my phone later in the day and said, by the way, anyone think that house is haunted? And immediately I got responses back from both of them saying, oh my God, yes, I'm so glad you said that. One of them was walking around a room all night with a flashlight because she kept seeing someone walking in and out, and the other has had a lot of psychic experiences and said it was a Hispanic couple, and they said that you reminded them of your daughter, So I don't know what to make of any of that, but I know I was a part of it. So
wow.
There's that. That was my entirety of my experience before I came to this show.
Wow. And of course, now, are you married yet? I know your wedding is in the works. Have you had the wedding yet?
I have not. It's actually the day after our premiere.
Is that okay? It's coming up. And for those who don't know, you want to tell everybody who your fiance is?
Yeah, Richie Wilson. He also works with me over at the Stern Show. And yes, we're going to be live tweeting during the premiere of Paranormal Paparazzi during our rehearsal dinner. We've actually set up a screening during our rehearsal dinner, and then we're getting married the next day.
Because everybody should realize, here is, we're talking about Rachel Fine and her fiancé are both in the Howard Stern world, and we know what a crazy lifestyle that surely can be, and yet still, she is saying some of the wildest experiences she had has been working on this paranormal paparazzi project. And in fact, would you like to just maybe run very briefly down a list of just some of the topics that you tackled? Because each of us had a really intensive schedule running around parts of the country. And so what are some of the topics that you actually looked at on the show?
Well, sure. Well, I did some interesting research on some new discoveries at the Amityville Horror House. So I was out in Amityville, out in Long Island, interviewing some interesting people about a gun that was discovered, which is all I want to say about that right now, but that I think will be pretty eye-opening. I got to spend some time at a zombie apocalypse training camp where I got to fire a good dozen semi-automatic weapons, which is awesome. I've never shot a gun really before besides it, like a skeet rifle, so that was really fun. I went to Horror Hound. It was my first time at one of the horror conventions, and that was fantastic. I really enjoyed that. A lot of very excited fans there, and just people who appreciated the genre of horror, which was great. It's kind of all around. I was all over, mostly in the northeastern U.S., but just quite a bit of traveling and over a short period of time, and got to meet a ton of interesting people with just wild stories.
Yeah, that's one thing I keep sort of stressing for everyone who is interested in this program, that it is so different because it's not just a program about ghosts or UFOs or cryptids or psychic stuff. I mean, people are going to be amazed at the spectrum of stuff that we cover in one episode. I mean, it's all over the place, very fast-paced, very fun and entertaining. We all got along together very well when we were there on the set discussing our findings.
Yeah.
And so now, of course, we're going to take a break here in maybe, we'll say, about a minute and a half, something like that, and then come back and talk to you a little bit more, because you have had some interest for a while also in aliens and in ancient aliens, and I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but I'd like to get your opinion on some of that. And let me just ask you before we go to this break, how long have you worked on the Stern Show, and what is one of the craziest experiences that comes to mind that you can tell to people who are Stern fans listening to this program?
Well, you know, I've been there for about 3 years doing the bonus show with John Hine for Howard TV, and then now doing Fine Time for Howard TV. And, you know, it's hard to even say, just the paradigm shift from my prior life in corporate America, where I, you know, certainly had to mind, I was in the education industry and really had to mind kind of my P's and Q's, and probably wouldn't have put a picture on Facebook with me holding a beer at some point in my life. And then when you start working in the serious, it was, I've said every word there is possibly to say on national television. I have been in all kinds of, I've seen half of my friends there naked on some set at some point. It's, you know, there's, at any given time, there's going to be, something happening that you just giggle at, and I can just say it's a great group of people. I have so much fun there, and you kind of, working there turns the volume down on everything else in your life to an extent, because you just enjoy, I just enjoy that experience so much. So it's just been fun. It's just been a lot of fun.
Well, you definitely bring a fantastic and unique perspective to paranormal paparazzi. When we come back, we'll talk to Rachel about her interest in ancient aliens. Her website is rachelfine.com, rachelfine.com. Go check it out and see why that she has fans all over the world. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Never come back from Copperhead Road.
You've got the pressure on you. You just think.
in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, our old friend Nick Redfern. He's going to talk to us about Hounds of the Baskervilles, from Demon Dogs to Sherlock Holmes, the true story of the beast. Right now, I'm wrapping up my conversation with Rachel Fine. Her website is rachelfine.com. And as I told you, boy, she's into everything. Model, singer, songwriter, entrepreneur. She hosts Fine Time on Howard TV. And she is a cast member on the upcoming Paranormal Paparazzi TV series that debuts September the 28th, 7 p.m. on the Travel Channel. Now, Rachel, I know you and Richie both have an interest in ancient aliens. I think you've even met with Giorgio Tsoukalos, and you want to talk a little bit about your interest in that area?
Yeah, we love Giorgio. He's a good friend of ours. Actually, he'll be at the wedding. The show first came out, I don't know, a few years ago, and Richie and I were watching it together, and we have a propensity to watch kind of any show that's out there in some regard, so we were always looking at whether it's, you know, chasing UFOs or any kind of just interesting, different, finding Bigfoot. He's a big fan of any of those shows. We watch them all. So we were watching a special on the first initial specials on Ancient Aliens, and we were both kind of struck by just how blatant some of these examples of just these jumps in history in technology at a time where it wasn't accessible. That it was, just seemed so blatant. It seemed like there had to be some kind of intervention here. And to this point, my thoughts on aliens have just been, you know, it's a big universe and who knows what's out there, and that whole, you know, I'm not arrogant enough to think we're the only life form thing. But, I don't know about visitation on this planet or how much interaction there's actually been with us, but I think there's got to be something. It's just, you know, gigantic universe. But when we watched Ancient Aliens, I was just struck by things like Pumapunku and how unbelievable it is in context of the time. So we went from just becoming kind of obsessed television fans to going to see Giorgio on his national tour. We went and saw him, and actually I got a chance to introduce him to the crowd, which was great, and went out for drinks afterwards and got to pick his brain, and we became good friends. And it's something that I just, you know, I think in all of this, as I've kind of thrown myself into all of it, what I've enjoyed the most is just grasping new knowledge. I'm just thirsty for knowledge. My favorite times on Paranormal Paparazzi were, honestly, Josh, with you and I sitting at lunch talking about crazy things like Mothman and interdimensional species, and that stuff is, it's just never been introduced to me before. So every time I see something that is just mind-blowingly interesting, I just want to soak up all the knowledge. And Ancient Aliens has been an interest for me for some time now.
Yeah, well, I agree. We had some fascinating conversations. There were times we thought, man, we should have a camera on us right now, you know?
I know. We could have made a show just out of the green room conversations.
Yeah.
Like, we could just, I mean, I wish people could just listen in to the, you get five of us in a room and just let us talk, and the interesting information that comes out from everybody is just, it really is television worthy.
Well, you have already achieved at least one landmark. You have now met the two most famous hairdos in the paranormal, Zach Bagans and Giorgio Tsoukalos. I think we need to take a lesson. I need to get something going on up here with my hair. I need to twist it.
Do you have a hair plan? What's going on here?
You know, I need to talk to you about this. I don't know, maybe some kind of lollipop kid spike. Something.
I think you could rock the faux hawk. I could see you going with some kind of a little bit of action in the front. I like it. I like the idea.
My hair would stand up so easily. It could work. So, well, Rachel, I can sense we have got a lot of fantastic adventures ahead of us. And, of course, we hope everybody will check out your Twitter feed there during the program, since you're going to be live tweeting. And this is an especially hectic time for you because, given your stature and your friends and your public visibility, your upcoming wedding is going to be an extravaganza. I kind of feel sorry for you. I've told you this before.
It's been a little tricky. Well, it's also been tricky just because when we do work for the Strange Show, a lot of your private life is now public life. So
yeah.
We've been going through a lot over who we've invited and haven't invited, and it's added, you know, the term bridezilla did not develop in our lexicon without reason, because the level of stress, I'm like at a 9 perpetually this month. And really, it takes like one wrong look from someone for me to be at a 12 and just be like melting down. So it's wild. The show is premiering the night before the wedding. But I'm trying to, from a bright side perspective, all my family and friends will be around and in from out of town. And I'm so excited that they can share in this adventure that we had together, because really, Paranormal Paparazzi was life-changing for me. It really was. It opened my eyes to a very different world than I knew before.
Well, I hope you're documenting this whole part of your life right now. You need a camera just following you around. You could have your own little reality show, and it would be a hit. So
that would be. In the short term, I write about it for the Huffington Post. If you go to huffingtonpost.com/Rachel-Fine, you can read about all the crazy misadventures with the wedding stuff.
And we'll be sure to get a link up to that on the Speaking of Strange website as well. Well, it's been a lot of fun, and yes, we have plenty of adventures ahead, and your fan base is just going to continue exploding. So we will continue touching base as this wild series of projects unfolds. And hey, congratulations again on everything. Give my best to Richie, and thanks so much for being on the program tonight.
Thanks so much, Josh. And I just want to say I really have gotten to appreciate the paranormal fan base. You guys are just awesome and welcoming and encouraging, and I didn't really know what to expect from this group of people, and I've just been so pleasantly surprised with how awesome everyone has been.
Well, the feelings are certainly mutual, and it's funny how that sometimes things that are sort of paranormal gradually become normal, and it's becoming mainstream now, and
yeah,
it's wonderful to be at this point in history where it all merges together. So there you have it, folks. That was Rachel Fine, rachelfine.com. When we come back, we will have Nick Redfern with us, and you know he always has some amazing stuff to share with you. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Don't touch that dial.